Begin the current and final daf, Masechet Shavuos, daf Mem Tes. Begin 8 lines down at the top of the Yamin, where the Gemara begins and ends the final parak in Masechet Shavuos, parak Arba Shemrin, the 8th parak in the Masechet. This daf, this parak, discusses the Shavuos HaPekadon, which we already explained in the earlier parak, regarding the oath of if someone has a deposit, he's watching someone for something, and he denies having that deposit regarding the liability of when he swears falsely. Says the Mishnah, Arba Shemin Hain, there are 4 types of custodians, of watchmen, of guardians, who are watching someone's item for him. They are Shemichinim, someone's an unpaid custodian, not getting paid for it. Vashayel, someone who borrows it, where all the gain is his, he's actually borrowing it from someone else. Naisi Sacher, someone who is watching for pay, he's getting paid to watch. Vaseicher, and the renter, who is similar in that element where he's getting some gain, but he's also watching the other person's thing. And it's not a total gain because he's paying for the item that he's using. Says the Mishnah, Shemer Chinam, the unpaid custodian, Nishba Alakel. Regarding all the situations that could happen, he swears that he wasn't negligent, and he's going to be exempt. No matter what happened to the item, he's not going to be liable. Vashayel, in the opposite end of the spectrum, the borrower, Mishal Mesakel. He has to pay for all those types of situations that our Mishnah is going to delineate, where whether if the animal broke, or was taken into captivity, or if it died, or if it was stolen, or if it got lost. For all the situations, the Shayel, who all the gain is his, something happens, he has to compensate the owner of the item. Now, in contrast, if let's say if it died, what's called machmas malacha, during the work that he was doing, because of the work, and that's why the animal died, so then in that situation, even the shayel, the borrower, is going to be exempt, because like the Gemara says above Metzia, lav lo ukman bechil to shayel, you didn't borrow it to keep it in the box, you borrowed to use it. That's the normal way of using it, and if it dies in the normal way, then he's going to be exempt. But everything else, the borrower is liable for. Now, next is Sacha Vaseicher, the other two remaining Shemrim, the one that gets paid to watch and the one who is paying to use it, the renter, Nishboyin ala Shvura. They have to swear that it was as they're claiming that it broke, or Vala Shvuya, or if that it was taken to captivity, or Vala Mesa, or if it died, where those are what's called Einsin, things beyond his control. For that, he's exempt, although the Shoyal is Chayiv here, they're not as extreme as the Shoyal, they're going to be Chayiv. And they're going to be exempt from that. And therefore, if they swear that that's what happened, they're exempt. In contrast, they're liable, they have to pay if it was stolen or if it was lost, which it wasn't an einus. They if they really were putting in the effort, that wouldn't have happened. And therefore, unlike a shemachinim, they're going to be chayiv in these two cases. Now, all these halachas of the Dalet Shemin are all learned out from Sukkim, as the Gemara teaches in Perek HaShoyel and Masechet Bava Metzia. Now, actually, this Mishnah itself, what we just taught was already taught in Perek Aseiches HaPoelim in all these different cases. So why did Rebbe go back and repeat that same Mishnah over here? It's because he wanted to teach the liabilities and exemptions of a Shomer in regards to a Karban Shvua. In regards to a Shvuas HaPekadon, if he denies and he swears to that effect, and then he later admits that he swore falsely regarding that Pekadon, that thing that he was watching. So therefore, first Rebbe had to teach us regarding what are the situations that the Shomer is going to be chayiv for and that is going to be pater. Because the Karban Shvuah is contingent on what he's chayiv and what he's pater on. Because if, let's say, he swears regarding something that he would be liable if he admitted that that's what happened. Let's say Shomer Sachar would say, yeah, it was lost, or if it got stolen. Where he would be chayiv if he admitted. But he swears to exempt himself from paying, because he swears, no, it was an einus, it got taken in captivity. So it comes that with his denial, he's denying money, then he's going to be chayv a karban shvuah sapekadon, and he's going to have to pay the principal, the chaymish, and the ashram. But let's say if he swears for nothing. For example, let's say, had he even admitted what happened, he wouldn't have paid, and yet he's swearing falsely regarding something else, then he's not going to be chayv a karban shvuah, because he's not really denying money, as the Mishnah goes through to explain, because he would have been exempt anyway. So you're swearing falsely, okay, maybe, as we'll see in the Gemara, you're chayev for Shavuos Bitui, but you're not chayev for Shavuos a carbon of Shavuos HaPekadon, because that's only if, with your false oath, you were trying to exempt yourself from money. In this situation, you would have been exempt from money anyway. As the Gemara explains, Amar L'Shem Echinim, says the Mishnah, if the owner says to the unpaid custodian, Heichen Shari, where's my ox that I gave you to watch? Amalai says, Mace, it died. Now, in truth, Vahushanishba, it really broke, or nishba, or it got taken in captivity, or nigna, or avod, if it got stolen, or got lost. He was afraid to say that, but either way, as we'll see in the Mishnah, he would have been exempt for whatever would have happened. But he says, he swears falsely that it died. That's his claim. Or let's say he says nishba, it broke. Now, in truth, Vahushamais, it died, or nishba, was taken in captivity, or nigna, or was stolen, or avod, or got lost. Or let's say he says nishba. He says it was taken into captivity. V'hu shemes. In truth, it really died, or nishba, or broke, or nignav, or got stolen, or yovid, or got lost. Or let's say it says nignav, it was stolen. Now, in truth, v'hu shemes, it died, or nishba, or broke, or nishba, taken into captivity, or yovid, or got lost. Or let's say it says yovid, or got lost. Now, the truth is, v'hu shemes, or nishba, or nishba, or nignav. Now, mashbiach ani, so the owner of the palace says, I want you to swear this is what happened. V'hama'aman, he says, yes, he accepts that oath, which is like he took the oath himself. Says the Mishnah Patri, he's going to be exempt from a chiv of carbon shavu, even though he swore falsely. Because had he admitted what really was the cases in all these types of cases, he wouldn't have paid. Because Hashem Echin is exempt in all situations as long as he wasn't negligent. So it comes out with his false oath, he wasn't really denying money. So therefore, says the Mishnah, he's going to be exempt from a carbon shavu. Continues the Mishnah. Let's say the owner says, hey, Chen Shari, where's my ox? Amaloi says to him, any day matasach, I don't know what you're talking about. Truth is, that's what he says. Truth is, v'hu shemes, it died, or nishbo, or broke, or nishbo, or take captivity, or nignam, or yovid, or got stolen, or got lost. But he's just saying, I know what you're talking about. Now, mashbiach ani, he says, I want you to swear that you know what I'm talking about. V'amam, and he says, yes, pateh is exempt. Why? Because even had he admitted to what really was, he would have been exempt anyway. So, okay, why is he swearing falsely? Fine. But he's not chayev, a carbon of shvuas habikad. Continues the Mishnah. Let's say he says, hey, chenshay, where's my ox? Amali ovid, he says, it got lost. Mashbiach ani ba'amam, and he says, I want you to swear to me, and he says, yes. Now, he said it got lost. But witnesses come and testify that he ate it was not lost. The Misham is a Karen, so then he has to pay for the principal. Now, that's obvious, because he obviously stole it by eating it. But the chiddush in this is, but he doesn't have to pay kafel. When he claimed that it was lost, that's not going to obligate him to pay the double penalty. And this is only talking about if witnesses were the ones who said, hey, how can you say it was lost? We saw you eat it. So then he has to pay for the principal. But if let's say he admitted on his own, no witnesses came, he just admitted, he says, you know, when I told you it was lost, I lied. I really ate it myself. Then, Mishalom Karen, then not only does he pay the principal, but he also pays v'chemish, a penalty of an additional fifth, v'ashem, the carbon ashem, like the law is regarding a shvuas ha'pekadon, where only the liability of the ashem is only if he first admits and he repents from his wickedness, and he's coming to atone himself, like it says by the halachas of Shavuos, by Gezla Ger, Parashas Nasei, b'zvadu eschatzas mash'asu, when they lay it admit, then he's chayav for additionally, besides the principal, the fifth and the karban ashem. Now, this was all if, let's say, he said, where's my ox? And he said it was lost, but really he ate it. But let's say, says the Mishnah, he says, hey, chen shay, where's my ox? V'amalei nignim, and he said it was stolen from me. And he says, mashbiacha, nibamam, and he says, I want you to swear to me, and he says, yes, because he's a shemachinim, he's exempted from stolen. And then the Edom Eden Oisishagam, but then witnesses testify, says that he stole it. That he was claiming it was stolen from him. No, you stole it. You ate it yourself. Then Mesham Tishlami Kefil. Unlike the previous case when he says it was lost, although seemingly they're both in the same category, Gneva Veda, regarding this, when the guardian was making a claim that it was lost versus when it was stolen, that's the difference. When he says it was stolen and really he took it himself, he has to pay double the amount of the principal. Which more explicitly in Perek Merub and Baba Kama learns out regarding a Shem Echinim who he exempts himself by claiming that it was lost from him, then he doesn't pay kafel even if he swore to that effect. But if he exempts himself with a claim that it was stolen from him and he swears and then witnesses come, then he has to pay kafel like the pasuk says, "Em lo yimatzei haganav," which literally translates as if you don't find the ganav. But the Gemara there expounds it to say, "Em lo yimatzei," if you don't find it to be like he said, rather he himself is haganav, he himself stole it. Like Gemara explains over there, then he's michay for the same halacha like a regular ganim, which is the penalty of kefal. Now, but let's say hoydim atzmai. Let's say witnesses did not come ready. He admitted on himself. He says, "You know, when I said it was stolen from me, really I stole it myself." Then misham keren v'chay mishvashim. Then he pays, like in the case of aveda, he pays the principal, a fifth, and a karban ashram, but not kefal because although there's a penalty for someone who exempts himself with a tiny ganim, but he's moed b'knas. He admitted on his own, and therefore he's exempt from the penalty of kefal. Continues the Mishnah. Let's say Amal Echad Bishok, not a guardian. He tells a random guy in the street, "Hey, can Shari Shagin after? Where's my ox that you stole? You stole my ox." Who I'm a Ligin after? Now he says, "I did not steal it." Now, as Rashi points out here, the Girsa is not like in the previous cases of Mashbeach, and he says, "I want you to swear," because in this case, even without an oath, they can be chayav for kefal, because this is literally a regular thief. Whereby a thief, it says in Shemais Chabez Yisham Shnayim, he pays double even without an oath. That's only by a shomer who is exempting himself by claiming it was stolen from him. Here we're talking about a regular guy. He said, "You stole from me," and he says, "I didn't steal." And then witnesses come and testify that he did steal it. And then he has to pay the double penalty which a ganav is liable for. Now, moreover, let's say tavach hamacha. Let's say not only did he steal it and he got caught by witnesses, but he even slaughtered or he sold it to someone else. Then Misham Tashlum and Bavach Hamishah, he has to pay by a shor and a seh 4 or 5 times, depending if it's an ox or a sheep, 4 or 5 times what the principal is worth. Now, however, says the Mishnah, let's say Ra Edim Shememash Mishin Neboin. Let's say this guy saw the witnesses are coming, which that's adding an element of Chiddush, where even though he's going to admit, as we're about to say, because of the fright, he sees witnesses are coming who are going to incriminate him. So he first goes and he incriminates himself regarding the principle. When he's Omar Ganafti, he says, I stole it. He saw witnesses coming. He says, no, I stole it. But I didn't, like you're claiming, slaughter it or sell it. Now, even though he only admitted because he was afraid of witnesses coming, still it's going to be considered an admission, which is going to exempt him from the penalty of the kafel. Now, since there's no penalty of kafel anymore, so he's also going to be exempt, even if it's later found out that he really did slaughter or sell it, he's going to be exempt from the liability of the 4 or 5 time penalty from the slaughtering or selling, which he denies, which later witnesses come and say, no, you did slaughter it or sell it. Because wherever you're not liable for kafel, like over here, because he admitted to the geneva to be exempt from the kafel before the witnesses came, there's no liability of the slaughtering. As the Gemara says over there in Baba Kamadav Ayin Hamad Beis, the Torah says, Tashlum above a chamisha. If a person steals and also slaughters or sells it, he's liable 4 or 5 times. Now, but that's only 4 or 5, not 3 or 4. Since there's no penalty of kafel, which is the principle, then kafel is a double, then you add on 3 or 4 to make it 4 or 5. Here there's no kafel because he admitted you're missing one, so therefore, Ein Mishal Mel Karen, in this case, he's only going to be liable for the principle itself. Continues the Mishnah. This was all discussion that he tells the Shemechina. Says the Mishnah, Amal HaShayah, let's say he says to the borrower, Hey Chanshayah, where's my ox that I lent you? Amalai, he says to him, as we continue to Medbeis, says, Mace, it died, which he's liable for. But truthfully, it's not what happened. Bush nishba, a nignaba of it, truthfully, it really broke, or was taken captivity, or was stolen, or lost, which either way is chayv. But he said a lie. Or let's say he says it was nishba, broke. But in truth, bush mace, a nishba, a nignaba of it. Or let's say he says nishba, was taken captivity, but truthfully, is one of these other things. Bush mace, a nishba, a nignaba of it. Or let's say he says nignaba, was stolen. But really, it was v'husha meis and nishbay nishbay ovet. Well, let's say it says ovet, it was lost. But truthfully, is v'husha meis and nishbay nishbay enignab. It was really either died, or it was broken, or it was captivity, or it was stolen. Now, mashbeacha ani v'ama am. And he says, I want you to swear to me that what you're saying is true. And he says, yes. So Potter, he's going to be exempt from a carbon shvua. Why? Because even though he swore falsely, what he was swearing to that effect was actually making him liable to pay. So in his oath, yeah, I swear it would die, even though it didn't die, it was stolen or something else, or broke. But that oath is actually making him liable for money. He's liable for oinus. It's not a denial of money. So therefore, he's not chayav karban shvuah. Continues the Mishnah. Let's say he tells him, Heichen shari, where's my ox? And Amalei says to him, Any day matasach, the bar says, I don't know what you're talking about. Now, the truth is, he really did borrow it. V'hu shemeis, oinishba, oinignev, oineved, and it died, or it broke, or it's taken captivity, or it's stolen, or lost, which the shayla is really chayiv for. And mashbeacha ani ba'amam, and he says, I want you to swear to me, and he says, yes. So in that case, chayiv is mechayiv a carbon shavu, because when he's saying, I don't know what you're talking about, he was denying money, and he was swearing to that effect. Had he admitted, he would be liable, so in that case, he's going to be chayiv. Now we move on to the remaining two categories. Let's say the owner says to the paid guardian or to the renter, says, so where's my ox that I paid you to watch or that you rented from me? So the shemer says, it died. Now, truthfully, really broke or was taken captivity, which either one is a type of oinus. Or let's say he says, nishba broke, but really died or taken captivity. Or let's say he says, nishba, take captivity, but really died or was broken. Or, similar but different type of a case, he says nignav, it was stolen, but really b'hushav, it really was lost. Well, let's say he says avad, it was lost, b'hushav, it really was stolen. So he says mashbeach ani v'am amani. He says, I want you to swear, and he says, yes. In all these cases, potter is going to be exempt. Now, the reason for that is for two different reasons. When he said it broke, but really was some other type of oinus, there he's going to be exempt, because had he admitted to what really happened, which was also an oinus, he wouldn't have paid anyway. So too in the other type of cases, when he said it was stolen, but really was lost, or lost was really stolen, there is also going to be potter, because there, either way, what he was saying would make him liable, and he wasn't denying money with this oath, so therefore in either one of these cases, the shemesachar or the seicher is going to be exempt. Let's say he says, meis einishba einishba. Let's say the shemesachar or the seicher says a type of an einis. It says it died, it was broken, or for his take captivity, but the truth is, which that he's trying to exempt himself. But truth is, it was stolen or lost, which that actually would make him chayiv. And mashbeacha ani v'amani, he says, I want you to swear, and he says, yes. So then chayiv, then he's going to be liable, because that was a kfiris of mammon. Let's say he says, Avari Nignav. He says it was lost or stolen, which is making him liable to pay. But in truth, actually, he's really exempt. Fusha Meis, a Nishba, Nishba, but really died or broke or is taking captivity. And he says, Mashbiach Aniv, and he says, I want you to swear to me. And he says, yes. So then Pata, then he's going to be exempt. Because here, actually, his lie was actually taking him from being exempt to make him liable. And he's actually losing by his oath. So that's obviously not a case of Kfiris Mammon, which should make him chayiv in the carbon of Shvuah, Shvuah Sabikad. Which the Mishnah sums it up. Zachal, this is the rule. Whenever you switch from a case which you would be liable anyway, to a case where you can be liable anyway, where let's say it died and you're saying it was captivity or if it broke, which either way, let's say for a shayel would be chayiv. Or umipat lepater. You would have been exempt anyway, and you're switching to another case that you'd be exempt. So let's say the Shemir Chinam is saying that it broke, and instead of saying that it broke, he was saying something else, that it was lost. Either one he's going to be exempt for. Or umipat lechayva. Let's say, like the case we just described before by the Shemir Sachar, where it was actually an oinus, but he's swearing that it was actually something that makes him chayiv, which is, he says it was stolen or lost. Either one of these cases, pat is going to be exempt, because that's not a denial of money. You either would have been pater anyway, or you would have been chayiv anyway, or you actually would have been pater, now you're making yourself chayiv. But mechayiv lepater chayiv, the case that you're liable for carbon neshvur, shvur sepekaten, is when you would have been liable, let's say, a shemir sachar, who was stolen from him, and he's lying under oath, and he's saying it was broken, which is the einus, and he's trying to make himself pater, it turns out that he was lying, then chayiv, that's when he's mechayiv a carbon for shvur sepekaten. So to a different version, which the Mefarshim explained seems to contradict the inference from the first one, Zakal, this is the rule. Kala nishba lahokal al atzma. If he's swearing to make it more lenient on himself, to get off the hook, so then chayiv, then he's liable. Lahachmar al atzma, but if he's being more stringent on himself, then actually pata, then he's going to be exempt. Now the Gemara asks, Man Tana Arba Shemin, who is the Tana of our Mishnah that taught that there are four guardians, which the Gemara is going to clarify the question shortly. So Amar of Nachman Amar Rabbi Baravui says, Remeir, it's Remeir, which also the Gemara is going to clarify, which as the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Rav Nachman says, Mi ikatana de lesle arba shemen? What's the question? Is there any Tana that doesn't learn that there are four guardians? But obviously, as the four parishes in the Torah and Parashat Mishpatim, everyone agrees that there's four custodians. The one who does it for free, the one who gets paid, the one who borrows, and the one who's a renter. On that Amalei, he said to him, look, this is what I said to you. Man Tana the Amr Seichir Kenesis Sachar Dami. Who's the Tana of our Mishnah that equates in halacha the Shemis Sachar and the Seichir that they have the same halacha? On that Amr Rav Nachman and Rabbi Barabu are Reb Meir. It's Reb Meir. Because there are those who say that the Seichir is like a Shemir Chinam. And that is what he's saying. Our Mishnah equates the Seichir to the Shemis Sachar is like a Meir. And that is the Gemara. But Reb Meir Ibchash Aminle. How can you say it's Reb Meir? Meir says the exact opposite. It's not like we learn the Braisa, Seichir case of Mishalm. How? What's the obligations of payment of the insurance of the renter? Remeir Meir Shemechinim. He says that he's like an unpaid guardian, where he's exempt from Geneva and Veda. Reb Yehuda Meir Kenesis Sachar. Reb Yehuda says like a Shemir Sachar. That says the Gemara. Rav Barabu Ipchatani. He actually learns it the opinions the other way around, and it's according to that version that we say it's like Remeir, who says that the Seichir is like the Shemir Sachar. Now the Gemara asks, but how can you say that there's four custodians? There's Shleisha Hava, there's only three. There are those that are totally exempt from everything. There are those that are totally liable from everything. And there are those where that you're Chayv and Geneva Veda and Patra Neinzen. So there's only three. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, no, there's Arba Shem, there's four types of guardians. For Dinei and Shleisha, there's three laws. The fourth one, the Seicher, is either going to be like the Shem Echidim or like the Shem Esachar, but there's four of them, they just have three different types of laws. Now the Gemara quotes different passages in short from the Mishnah, where Amal Hashem Echinam, Bechulu says to the Hashem Echinam, etc. Hechin Chari, Bechulu, etc. Amal Echad Bishuk, Bechulu says someone random in the street, etc. Amal Hashemer, Bechulu says to the guardian, etc. So to the Mishnah said, Hechin Chari. He says, where's my ox? Amal Lo, he says, Eini Yedea Matasach, Bechulu, I don't know what you're talking about, etc. So on all these halachas of the Mishnah, the Gemara has the following machlokes. Amar Rab, he says, Vekulon. Regarding all these cases that we said in the Mishnah that the individual is exempt from Shavuos HaShemrin, when it says they're pater, says Rav, it's Patur Mishavuos HaShemrin. He's only exempt from the oath of the guardian, in other words, from the Karban Asham, which comes when you swear falsely on an oath of Shavuos HaPikad. But v'chayav mishum shvus bita. It says Rav, but the individual is still going to be liable for violating a full oath of utterances for the past, which there is a liability of a korban el b'yayrid if, as we explained in the previous daf, where he was unaware of the liability of the korban, but he was aware he was saying a lie, like an oath to the past, where he says, I knew that the oath I'm taking was forbidden, but I didn't know there was going to be chayav a korban. There, it's a shavuz bitul l'sha'ava that one is chayav a korban el b'yayrid. It says, Rab, although this person wasn't like some of the cases we described where you're potter because there's no kefiras mamon, because either way you'd be chayav, or either way you'd be potter, or actually you would have been potter and you were being mechayav yourself, so you're not chayav a korban a shavuz b'katan, but you are chayav a korban el b'yayrid for shavuz bitul, for just lying of a past situation. Shmuel Amar, he says, no, av patur mishum shavuz bitul. The individuals in the Mishnah, we said they were exempt not only from Shavuos HaPikadon, from that carbon, but even from the carbon El B'yayrid of Shavuos Bitur. So says the Gemara B'makim, regarding what principle do they disagree about? Shmuel Savar Lesa B'Labo. Shmuel says the reason why you cannot be liable for the Shavuos Bitur L'Sha'avar is because you cannot have the parallel of the Shavuos Bitur for the future. In other words, when he said, where was my ox? And he says it died. So you can't say, so that's for the past tense, you could say a lie. But you can't swear for the future tense to say it will die, it will not die, because that's an oath in vain, because it's not in his hands to divinely orchestrate if it's going to die or not. So since you cannot make the oath for the future, it's neither going to be qualified as a shavuz bitul l'sha'avar to be chayav b'korban el b'yayrid. Whereas v'rav sava isa b'lav ha'en, Rav says no. Since it is applicable in the positive and the negative, at least for the past tense, to say that it was stolen or was not stolen, so therefore it will be qualified as a shavuz bitul. It doesn't have to be applicable also lahaba. On that is the Gemara, but if ligabachadazim, we already had this machlik as Rabbi Shmuel in another context, why would they repeat over here in the halach of our Mishnah? Because Idma, we learned, and this was brought in the Chafayim and Aleph, shavuz shazorg plain yitzrar liyam. Someone says, I swear that this guy threw a pebble into the ocean. Or shavuz shalai zark, or I swear that he didn't throw. So Rava Machayv, he says, if the person was lying, he's liable for a carbon that will be yared for a shvuz bitul l'sha'avar. Ushmula mepata, Shmuel says he's exempt. As the Gemara explains, Rava Machayv di'isa b'lava hen. Because it could be either yes or no. You could, it's an appropriate oath to say he did throw or he didn't throw. But Shmuel HaMapati says the person's exempt because the lesser b'labo, because it cannot be for the future. The other person's not in your control. You can't say he will throw or not throw. That there's no free will for. So therefore, we already have this machlik. Is why I repeat it twice. So Zigmar Tzricha, no, we need it in both contexts. Because the Yesh Min B'ha, had we only had their machlekes and daf chafei regarding throwing the pebble, B'ha kama Rav. You could say over there Rav said that when you make such an oath, you're going to be chayev, mishum d'minafshei k'mishtabe, because that's the type of oath, a shavuz bitul, that a person could take on his own. And therefore, all you need is have is lavahen. Av b'hach, but in the context of our Mishnah regarding shavuz ha-shaymin, the beidin mishabe alei, the court is what mandates this guardian who's denying his liability to take an oath, we would say that actually in our Mishnah, Rav would agree to Shmuel that actually the person is going to be exempt not only from Shavuos HaBekodin but also from Shavuos Bitul. Why? Because Amar Bami says, Kol Shvua Shadayon Mashbin, they say any oath which is mandated by the courts, in Chayav Nelem Shem Shavuos Bitul, then there's no liability of, even if it was a false oath of utterance, he's not going to be liable for Shavuos Bitul, because that's only, as we'll see later on, something that person makes on his own, not when it's mandated by the courts. So therefore, had we not said Rav over here, we would have said he would agree to Shmuel, because it's a Shavuos Adiyanin, and therefore you're not Chayav for Shavuos Bitul. That's what we have to say. No, he disagrees with that halacha of Rabami. Or v'iyat me'baha, had we only said it over here in the context of our Mishnah, we would say b'ha kam Shmuel. Only over here the Shmuel say that it's pater. Abahach eim emoydel l'rab, but over there he would agree to Rab, maybe over here it's pater because like Rabami. But over there where it's nothing to do with the Shavuos HaDayanin, that he would be chayev for the Shavuos HaBitui, and it doesn't have to be l'abba. Tzricha, that's what you have to say it in both contexts. Now Gufa, the Gemara goes back to explain that we just quoted Amar Rabami, he says, any oath that the judges mandate that they make them the person take the oath, so meaning it's going to be, let's say, shavuos mitzvahs, whatever type of oath it is that the judges are adjuring the person to make, for that you could be liable shavuos habekodin, but not for a shavuos bitul. Why? The puzzle says, if a person will take an oath, an utterances of his lips, which sounds like me'atzmoy, he'll take it on his own. Where do you see from this pasuk that shavuos bitul is only if you do it on your own, not by someone else meaning the judge is making you make it. Kedresh Lakish. Because the Amr Shlakish, he says, ki, the word ki in the Torah, mishtamish ba'arba l'shaynes, has four translations. Either e, if, dilma, maybe, ella, but, deha, because. Now, that's the Gemara is explaining that when it says over here, ki sishava by shvuz bitoy, it's in the definition of e, of if, meaning it's like it says, im nefesh ki sishava, if a person will take the oath. Well, that sounds like meaning the person has the volition, meaning if he wants it from his own. That's excluding a shvus hadayanin, which a person does not have a choice, and the person has to take such an oath. Now, however, Rav, which we just said disagrees with Rabbi's interpretation, he would say that actually the interpretation of ki over here means daha, because. Oy nefesh ki seshave is like, if a person, because he's going to swear, meaning that he's going to have to swear because the court is going to mandate him, there also there's going to be the liability of a carbon el b'yared when there's no denial of money, then he's going to be, which to be making himself liable for Asham, then he is going to be chayav a carbon el b'yared, as we said in our Mishnah, although they're pater from the Shavuos HaMekudin, but then he'll be chayav for the Shavuos Pitui of a carbon el b'yared. Now, Rabbi Lazar, he says, Kulon, all those of our Mishnah which said that they're pater, are petur mishvus shemrin, they're exempt only from the oath of the guardian, but for chayav mishvus pitoy, but again, Rabbi Lazar holds a grav, that you will be liable for the carbon or el-biyarit of shvus pitoy. Chutz me'in yidea mata sach deshayel, meaning all the cases in our Mishnah we said that you're exempt, except when he says, let's say by the case of the shayel, where the borrower, where he's chayav for everything, and he says, when he's claimed that, where's my thing? He says, I know what you're talking about. And Ugneva Vaveda, the Nice Sakh of Shabbasaicher, which is meaning, although almost all the cases of Mishnah were Pater, these are the exceptions that you can be Chayev when a paid guardian or a renter, in regards to a denial of, meaning he's really liable because it was stolen or lost, but he denies that. Where there, the Mishnah says, regarding those cases, that the Shomer is going to be Chayev. Where there, the Halach Ishu Chayev, that is going to be liable on this false Shvur Shomer. And why are these going to be the exceptions which the Mishnah describes that he's chayev a carbon on that? As we said, shere kafri mamon, because he's denying money. When you deny money and you make a shvur to that effect, that's called a shvur sabikadon. Then when he turns out that he was lying, that's when he's chayev for the carbon that's unique to the parsha of shvur hapikadon of being chayev a carbon in that context. Now, although that actually there are other cases in the Mishnah, like by the Shemachinim who says that it was lost, but really he ate it, or when he claims that it was stolen, but he himself really stole it himself. Where there the Mishnah says that if he admits on his own, he pays the principal and the chaimish and the karban asham. So there are other cases that you can be chayiv, that the Gemara is not mentioning that the Mishnah says you are chayiv. And that says Rashi, that Rabbi Elazar did not have to mention those cases as chutz, as exceptions, because there the Mishnah, the Tana explicitly says that the halacha is going to be a chaimish and the asham of the shvur shemit. So it says explicitly. Here, the Tana doesn't say what you're chayiv, it just says you're chayiv. That's what the Gemara is coming to explain, that you can be chayiv on the carbon asham because there was a oath of kfiris mamon, which we said that's halacha of the carbon of shvuas hapikad. Hanulach arba shemun shall return to you the 8th parak of Masechtas Shvuas, parak arba shemun. But slikala Masechtas Shvuas, we have concluded Masechtas Shvuas.